Good evening, Rabbi Osei. Tonight's topic is continuation of our third shiur in the sugi of Kosev, the malach of Kosev on Shabbos, or Mochik on Shabbos. We are talking about something very specific and very, very, very halach l'maisa, more often than we even think about, because we might not be as aware as we might ought to be. And that is, if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you have those biskvitim that often have the word biskvit engraved into the biskvit. Similarly, you have gingerbread men, which is a little bit of a different shaila. Sometimes you like biting off the heads or the limbs of gingerbread men or animal crackers. Or if you have any nursery kids, you might buy ABC cookies. If you remember alphabets, oh, there we go, alphabets. So presumably, if you take a letter and you destroy a letter, that would presumably be mochek. So is there an issue taking a letter of an alphabet, taking a letter of an alphabet cookie, taking a letter that's engraved into the biskvit and cracking the biskvit in half and taking a bite out of the biskvit? Would that be considered mochek? Cakes, of course, that have writing on them. We're not going to talk about it as much tonight. We'll talk more about cutting cakes, you know, lettering on cakes for birthdays and the like. We'll get more into the details of that next week, I think. This week will be more introductory to that. Another corollary. Hold on one second. Another corollary of this is going to be something that happens very often. If you have on the side of a sefer, not this one, but sometimes you, I know in YU, every book in the Mendel Gottesman Library has on the side of the page a stamp Mendel Gottesman Library. So when you open that, you are presumably undoing the words or the letters that are there. When you close it up again, you're reforming the letters that are there and the words that are there. Is that considered writing and erasing? Both, you know, kosev and mochek, based on which direction you're opening or closing the book. That's the question that we're going to talk about. Before we do that, I want to broaden our shaila, that we're not just going to be talking about what happens if there are letters that you are either breaking apart or perhaps we'll talk about connecting. What happens if it's just a picture, the parts of a picture, like a puzzle, for example? If you have a puzzle, is putting a puzzle together anything? What could be the shiloh with a puzzle? There are no letters on a puzzle, so there's no kosev. It's just a picture. So here we have to start, the first three sources are going to be sort of a tangent, and then we'll get into the main point after in source number four. So as far as pictures are concerned, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, in source number one, talks about various malachas that if you do that, we know that all the malachas that can be violated on Shabbos have a given shi'ur, a certain minimal amount that has to be accomplished in order to violate the Issa D'oraisa. So the Gemara in Shabbos lists off various malachas that even if you do the tiniest amount, that would already be considered a violation of malacha. There's no shiur to them. For example, HaKodeach, Kolshu, someone who drills. You drill a hole in something, that itself, the smallest drill hole, is already going to be a malacha D'oraisa. HaMegarer, Kolshu, HaMa'abed, Kolshu, somebody who smooths out wood or something, or somebody who tans hide, even if it's the tiniest piece of hide, should be a melacha d'oraisa. Hatzar b'kli tzura kolshu, somebody who draws on the side of a kli a tzura kolshu, any amount, that also will be a violation of a melacha. How much did he draw? Rashi explains, kolshu min hatzura, any amount of this picture. So it seems from this Gemara that if you draw not only a picture, but if you draw even part of a picture, kol shehu, that would already be a violation of a malacha. The problem is that this Gemara might not be talking about the malacha of kosev, it might be talking about the malacha of makeh v'patish. Maybe it's talking about makeh v'patish doesn't have a shir. Any amount, kosev we learned in the first shir of kosev, you have to write at least two letters. Maybe makeh v'patish, you're just putting on the finishing touches. So maybe if you made a beautiful kos, and the last step of your making this kos is putting on a certain figure, a certain design, a certain imprint, so that little bit of your design, even a tiny bit of design, would already be makeh v'patish because it's putting the finishing touch on this kli. But let's look at the Rambam.
Person rips that piece of
So when you rip a paper and the ripped paper by candies or by other wrappers where the ripping of the paper also is going to rip the letters, that we'll also talk about at the, we'll be able to talk about that after the shiur. We'll have the information that we'll need. But we'll talk about more details next week, but we'll have the information that we need by the end of today. That will be something that will come.
When he says that some Sura culture, is he talking about a complete picture, but it's a cultural picture?
I think Rashi answers your question. Rashi says, kulshu min hatzura. It's not just a, you're suggesting maybe it means a very small Sura, but it's a complete Sura. Rashi says, no, Rashi says even a piece of that Sura would already be a violation. So this is megalit to you, a new chiddush for you in understanding Makav Patish. The Makav Patish is even the beginning of that finishing step. That's a chiddush for you in Hilchus Makav Patish. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Look at the Rambam, though. The Rambam adds a little bit more, and he takes it out of the realm of Makav Patish alone and introduces us to the seeing, drawing pictures on Shabbos. Roshem, making a mark, as opposed to what we would call a letter. What about just making a mark, a dash, a hyphen, a question mark, an exclamation point? Roshem is a toldas kosevu. That's a tolda, which means nisa deraisa of the violation of kosev. Ketzad. Haroshim rishamim, somebody who marks, vitsuros, and figures, not letters, pictures, sketches. Bekosel uva, the next word, I don't know what it means. Maybe it should be basar and it's a printing mistake. Bekayotze behen kadesh atzayar and roshim, just like the artists or the drawers draw. Harei zechaya mishum kosev. What did you just see? You see that if you draw a picture, that is kosev, just like writing letters, which we've been speaking about until now. Writing letters, of course, is kosev, as the Mishnayos talk about, but even drawing pictures is considered a violation of kosev. And the inverse. V'chein ha-mochik es ha-rasham. L'sakein ha-reza todas mochik v'chayim. And if you would erase a figure, if you have a picture that's on a paper and you erase it with an eraser, that'd also be mochik, and you'd be also chayev skila if it was done on Shabbos. What's that?
What would be the shear then? Like, see, the shear is 280 kilosios. What will the shear be for this skila?
That's a great question. What's the shear? That's a great question. I don't have the answer right now.
What do you write in Chinese?
So if you're writing Chinese where their hieroglyphics have symbols, so you're saying, would it be one figure or would it be two Chinese letters? It's a good question. So what you see here right now is going to make the issues of puzzles a real shaila now. Puzzles don't have letters on them. They're pictures. But what are you doing? You're drawing a picture or you're taking a picture apart. So Mr. Bloom is saying you're not drawing or erasing a picture. You're just taking a pre-written, pre-drawn picture that was separated and drawing the parts of the picture together. That's what you're suggesting. That's what we're going to be discussing momentarily. But just let's pause just for a cute application. I don't know if anyone's ever seen this. Maybe in the old, the Alter Hey, maybe you saw something like this. Did anyone ever see some minhag that in the Afikoman they would have shapes cut out of the Afikoman? So the Prima Gadim records a fascinating minhag in source number 3 in Simon Tuf Kuf, Sif Zayin, I think that's Lichas Yantif. La'asos nekev ba'afikoman b'sakin, eagle o meshulosh, kemagin David. Wow, Prima Gadim already, they already had a magin David in the time of the Prima Gadim. So if you want to cut into your matzah, for whatever reason, afikoman, they wanted to cut pictures into the afikoman, like a magin David, for example, b'chivan, and you do it carefully, nirat da'asar. What are you doing? You're cutting a shape into a food. So that's pretty much aser. V'chol shekein la'asos tziyurin, certainly to make tziyurim to b'skocha v'adam v'chadom ba'ochlem pshita midrabanan, aser is clearly going to be aser midrabanan to cut into food, probably because food is not a permanent surface, or food is not a permanent tablet on which you're writing, so it's not going to be aser d'oraisa, but it'll be aser d'rabanan. So wait a second. What would you say about carving cantaloupes, carving watermelons, carving stuff on Shabbos? You know, it sounds like it's a problem. If you're makpid about, he says that if you're doing it carefully, you'll get a certain shape. If you're doing cutting a watermelon up, down, up, down, up, down, you know, like sort of V in an inverted V, maybe that's not considered cutting a shape. We could argue about that. But if your intent is to, you know, cut some food in the shape of a duck or anything else, a swan, that's already a malacha, you know, that's already a real malacha. Complicated situation. Malach Zuman. That says Prima Gondra, it's a problem. It's a problem. Fine. Now, we're going to start the sugi. That was all just to show you that when we talk about Kosev as a malacha, we're not only speaking about letters, writing and erasing letters, we're also talking about writing and erasing pictures, figures, diagrams, and even shapes. And that just broadens the shayla that we have to ask about, because, hey, Rabosai, look at this Gemara over here. There are no words on the binding, on the edges, but what is this? There are shapes here. So maybe that itself should be a problem. Right now there's whatever design, I'm undoing that design. I just violated Mochet. Now I do this, I'm putting the design together. I just violated Kosev. So that's an added level of question that we're going to have to address. Is that going to be what happens? Again, what happens if you have something in the middle? You don't have letters, but it's more than just a little, you know, blotches of ink. This all looks like a little bit like a Rorschach test. What happens if you have real figures or pictures? I remember when I was little, we used to, you know, you wanted to identify your book in the pile of books in the classroom. So we would draw things on the side to identify it as ours. You never did it. I did. So we have to start this discussion of cutting letters in food, cutting letters that are pre-written, cutting letters in Sfarim, with the following Mordechai. That's the source for a seif in Shulchan Aruch and the discussion that we're going to have tonight. This is the source. Source number 4. Says the Mordechai in Maseches Shabbos, Nishal Rabbi Meir. This is the Maharami Rotenberg, who is the Gadol Hador. Rabbi Meir, Maor HaGola, was asked the following. Al Ugos HaTinokos, they had, that word is going to be important later on, children's cakes, or children's cookies, Shekosin Alein Osios V'Tevos, that you write on them letters and words, Eich Ochlem Osam HaTinokos B'Yontif, how could children eat those cookies on Yontif? V'Heshe, V'im Shemochik B'Yontif, Look what his answer is going to be. His answer is going to be, erasing on Yontif is only an iser de, let's see, laka iser d'oraisa b'mochek el amanas lichtov. In order to qualify as an iser d'oraisa of mochek, of erasing, what does it have to be? We know that all the malachas in Shabbos are only a violation if you do a malacha for a constructive purpose, for a purposeful way. If you're trying, if you're destroying something, it's never going to be asur d'rabban. It's never going to be asur d'oraisa. So here, when you are eating this cookie or breaking this cookie in half, what are the kids doing when they eat this cookie? They're not trying to erase the letters so that they could afterwards write something else on this cookie. They're consuming it. They're destroying it. So it's clearly not going to be d'oraisa. Leke asur d'oraisa b'mochek, ela amanas lichtov. It's only if you intend to write on top of this. Because what was the mochik in the Torah? Anyone know what mochik in the Mishkan was? What was the case of mochik in the Mishkan? We never discussed it explicitly. What was kosev in the Mishkan? That we did discuss. They used to mark onto the beams to know which beams to put next to which beam. Correct. Perhaps. Okay. Okay. What is the mochik then? Right, if they made a mistake, they had to erase it. But what was the point of erasing it? Exactly, only in order to write the right mark on it right afterwards. So in other words, mochik has to be amanach lichtov afterwards. Fine, so it's not asur d'oraisa to destroy a cookie because it's not amanach lichtov. Third line of the Mordechai, miha yisur d'rabbananika. But there is an asur d'rabbanan. So what is he saying? It's asur d'rabbanan to break or to eat a cookie that has writing on it. Well, look what he says now. So since it's only Nisa D'Rabbanan, we know that for children, what's the halacha? If a child does Nisa D'Rabbanan, if a child does Nisa D'Rabbanan, you don't have a chiyuv to stop him. That's how the kids are able to eat these cookies. As long as you don't hand it to him directly, you're not making him do the issa directly. If you see a child doing an issa d'rabbanan on Yom Tov or Shabbos, and you didn't give it to him directly, you don't have to stop him. That's why it's mutter for the children to eat these cookies. Whoa! Do you realize what he just said? Mochek. Oh, it's very permanent. Sure, once you eat it, it ain't never coming back. It's about as permanent as you could get. Sure, sure it was. Sure, the writing permanent will stay week after week after week.
So when kids on Pesach, or maybe the adults is a bigger problem, is the matzah broken or not? It could be that's mochichum nasalchot. In other words, to pull the matzah apart, that game would be usher, according to this.
No, you're not talking about a figure that's drawn. This was the way the Mordechai said this. He's talking about a case that there's a picture drawn onto the cookie. You're talking about when the cookie itself has an irregular shape that you're sort of putting the irregular shapes together. You're talking about like a puzzle more, right? You might get to something a little bit later that might shed more light. So that's the end of the Mordechai. The Mordechai is saying that if you have a cookie with lettering written on this cookie, guess what? It's mutter to let the kids eat if you don't hand it to them. Clearly he's saying what? It's usher to hand it to a child, and certainly it's usher for you to take a bite out of that cookie.
I just have a practical question. What about chinuch?
That's exactly why he's saying that if it's a issur d'rabbanan, that you don't give to him, there's no din of chinuch. That's a big sigil. Where are the parameters of chinuch? Right. He's exactly trying to avoid saying, he's exactly saying, in other words, that there's no din of chinuch. Din of chinuch is only on the father, not on other people. That's why it's based in mitzvah and hafrisho. The father has a mitzvah chinuch, other people don't have a mitzvah chinuch. You have a mitzvah chinuch on your son, I have a mitzvah chinuch on my son. I have no mitzvah to be mechanech your kid, and you don't have a mitzvah to be mechanech my kid. So if I see your kid eating this cookie, and I didn't give him the cookie directly, and it's only necessary to have banan to eat that cookie, I could let your kid do it.
Could he only eat it? He wants to turn the lights off on Shabbos, you can let him do it.
If an issur d'rabbanan for not your kid, could be, maybe you're right, don't know enough. Okay, so let's see what the Shulchan Aruch does with this Mordechai. And gentlemen, you're going to be quite surprised. Shulchan Aruch in source number 5. Haggah says Rama, quoting this Mordechai, right? The Mordechai was an Ashkenazi Rishon. He doesn't make his way into the Shulchan Aruch too often. So you're going to find the Mordechai, you're going to find him in the Rama. Haggah says Rama, Asur l'shaber uga, right? The Shulchan Aruch is not talking about for children, he's talking about adults. So he's telling you, Mr. Adult, Asur l'shaber uga shekosu alav kiminosios. You're not allowed to break a cake or a cookie that has letters written on it. Afal pishen mechavim rak l'achila. What's your intent? Only to? Have a snack. Eat.
So animal crackers as well.
Animal crackers are... We're not up to animal crackers yet, because you're talking about a case where that will be next
that's
week.
Tzura.
That's where the cookie itself is a tzura. Here we're talking about a cookie that has writing on the cookie.
Right, I hear the chiluk.
So you're...
I'm introducing...
Yes, we're going to talk about that at the beginning of next week, probably. Not tonight. We're not going to get to that tonight.
Would this be a considered separation? Once you break it to eat the cookie, you cannot.
Yes, the word psikresha, he uses code words for psikresha in the Shulchan Aruch. That's what he means when he says, Afal pishen mechavin rak l'achila. That's what he means. Even though your kavan is not to destroy the writing, that's exactly what he means. It's psikresha, it's not mechavin, it's only psikresha, but we know that psikreshas are usr. We paskin, psikresha, even on an issur d'rabbanan, is taka usr. There's a Truma Sadash that says psikresha on a d'rabbanan is mutter. And therefore, this might be mutter according to that Trumas HaDeshen. We're machmir against that. We hold the psik resha even on an issur d'rabbanan. I'll give you a very good case. Let's say, Dr. Schuster, the light in your fridge is on. Somebody opened it by mistake, didn't realize it. For you to shut the door of the fridge and make the light go off is an issur d'rabbanan, to make the light go off. On might be d'oraisa, maybe not, depends. But off is definitely only an issur d'rabbanan because you don't really care about it. And you're trying to close the door to keep the electricity bill down, to keep your food fresh. not because you want to turn the light off, so it's a psik resha. Would you close that refrigerator door and turn the light, to close the door light off? That's a psik resha, and you're machmir. That's correct. That's what we paskin. Jim Sadashin would say it's okay. We don't paskin like that. So here too, we have an issur d'rabbanan, and that's true, because it's not amanas lichtov, it's not mochik amanas lichtov, it's an issur d'rabbanan, but it's going to definitely happen. Right? If you bite this cookie in half, that picture is definitely getting cut in half. There's no way about it. Psik resha, it's going to be usur. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, hold that in mind right now for what we're going to see just in a few lines. So let's see the Mishnah Berurah make some comments on this one line of Shulchan Aruch. This very chumrah, ridiculous line. The Shulchan Aruch is basically saying you can't, that an adult can't take a cookie and break it in half, even with the intent to eat it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, also lishabra mutar litan latinok, that we just explained why, because that's by Drabbanan, you're not giving it to him, he's doing it himself, it's an Issa Drabbanan. Fine. Now, says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 6, Mishnah Berurah Tesvav in Siman Shin Mem, says the Mishnah Berurah, and this is going to be a very important point. I started off mentioning the idea of a biskvit. Those Israeli biskvitim that have the letters Beis, Yud, Samach, Kuf. I don't know how to spell vit, biskvit with a vavret, veis, I don't really know. But that's talking about where there's an engraving of letters in the food itself. Says the Mishnah Berurah, look at this. Davka kishekosin al ha'ugos osis midavar acher. This chumrah that we're learning in the Shulchan Aruch based on that Mordechai is only if there is a writing separate that was applied to the food item. Aval kishaksiv himei ha'uga atzma, if it's engraved into the food that you're eating. There's a new fancy crack. What is it called? Lotus. Anyone have lotus crackers? No one knows about lotus crackers? It's a fancy cracker in Eretz Yisrael that the little kids are very excited about. And it has L-O-T-U-S, or Lamed Vav Tes Vav Samach, engraved in the cracker. Says the Mishabura, Kishaksiv himei ha'uga atzma bitfus o biyadayim, that you either imprinted it with a press or with your fingers, you engraved it into the flesh of the cookie, like you impress the dough, you press the dough down to make that shape, shari. Why? De ein shem ksiva alav. That engraving, that's not called ksiva.
Shame.
De ein shem ksiva aleha. If does hasten can ksiva, if it's not called ksiva, that wasn't ksiva. What is kosev? Kosev is when I take an ink and I apply it to a tablet. Not when I take my nail or an awl or a screwdriver and rub it into some engrave it in some medium.
Except for the
So Luchos, you're right, the Torah says Ksav. Choros al Luchos, right, that's going to be a little bit difficult. What? So he's saying that that's not called Shem Ksiva.
The cookie was formed initially like that. It wasn't taken and then engraved. It was created in that form. So it's not called Ksiva.
You might be right, but I'm just not sure if that's what he means. Ha'uga, he says, Ha'uga at bitfus obiyadayim.
So he's saying that even if you shake something, it's not.
You shake that way.
Okay, we could discuss that. Maybe yeah, maybe no.
Just
look at the.
I think to your point, are we saying engraving is not ksiva?
I don't know enough about ksiva to know if engraving is. Here he's clearly saying that if it's not a foreign matter that is applied to a tablet, that's not called ksiva. Sounds like engraving isn't in that. Okay, so here we have a kula of the Mishnah Berurah to say that the issur is only if we're talking about a cookie that has, you go to those Vart cookies, right? Your Baruch Hashem, your granddaughter, B'Shalatov, they're going to have special cookies?
I'm just visiting.
You're just paying the bills. Your daughter-in-law will figure out what she wants to serve, and you'll just pay for the vart. Fine. That works. So if you have a cookie and then you write the name on top of it, like we sometimes do add varts here or there, so that's exactly what we're talking about. And that cookie would be usher to break on Shabbos or Yontif. If a kid took it, you wouldn't have to stop him. That's the halacha that this Mishnah is paskening, that the Shulchan Aruch is paskening. The Mishnah is only giving us a kula that if it's one of these lotus crackers or biscuit crackers, then where it's engraved into the body of the cracker, not applied, writing applied to the top of the cracker, but it's imprinted into the body of the cracker, that would be mutter. And even this kula that we have, comes the Chazon Ish, he argues on it, and look what the Chazon Ish says. Umasha Kosev, I'm sorry the writing is not so clear. Umasha Kosev Mishnah Brura. Diksha osios me'auga atzma mutter, says the Chazon Ish, eino muvan. Ani lo mevin. I don't understand this kula of breaking a cookie that has an imprint, right? Like the word biscuit is imprinted into the body. Why? Let's say it was Shabbos. It was Shabbos. And you have some dough, and you imprint, you draw, you engrave. Well, engraving, as you said a few minutes ago, is kosev. If you would engrave on Shabbos, it would be kosev. So therefore, says the Chazon Ish, guess what? If you break that engraving, it should equally be the inverse of kosev, which is mochek. The ozekain, if you would imprint on Shabbos, vadim rikri kosev. Okay, if it's not miskayim, then it won't be daraisa, fine. And therefore, it's going to be aser. In other words, the Chazon Ish is coming out that both the engagement party cookies that have the names written on top with whatever, sugar, as well as the imprinted, engraved biskvitim, they're both going to be aser to crack in half on Shabbos. Chumra of the Chazon Ish more than the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah said one is okay, the other is not okay. The Chazon Ish says both are problematic. Now Rabosai, it's going to get even more severe. Because this Mishnah Berurah, this is a Shulchan Aruch. Look again at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch was talking about what being on cookies. The Shulchan Aruch talked about what being on cookies. Kamin Osios. What does Tessayin in the Mishnah Berurah say? V'yesh machmir afilu bi Tziurim. Oh my goodness gracious. So let's think of any food that has a picture on top of it. What's a good example of a food that has a picture on top of it? With the flour on a birthday cake? You know, they have those flours made out of sugar, you know, bright red and bright green cream flours. So now that, right, nowadays they have that's very modern. So that's certainly going to be the same issue. But even if you have something a little less sophisticated, what are things, you know, certain pictures? Do we have any cookies that have pictures? Yeah, every Oreo cookie. That's the case. I mean, that's where the word Oreo is written into the...
It's written.
Yeah. Right, so to crack an Oreo cookie is a machlokas Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish. You hear that, Mr. Isaac? To take an Oreo cookie and crack it in half. Is machlokas Mishnah Berurah is making and Chazon Ish is machmir. Right, if you pull it apart, you come to my house, you look in the box of Oreo cookies, all you see is black and black and the white inside has been licked off by a small child and they put the rest back in. What?
They don't want to break the cookie.
We're very firm in our house, yeah. Wow, so we have a chumra, says the Mishnah Berurah, even b'tziurim. We have to think of what kind of cookies have tziurim on them that are sort of...
That's the chiluk
of the Mishnah Berurah. That's the distinction that the Mishnah Berurah is making. If it's imprinted as opposed to if you're writing on top.
The Mishnah Berurah is imprinted before it's baked.
Correct.
And then it's baked.
Correct.
So when it came
to... He says that's not called ksiva.
That's not called ksiva.
The Chazon Ish argues on that. Because the Chazon Ish says what you said a few minutes ago. Of course that's ksiva. Engraving is ksiva.
Yeah, because the Chazon Ish could be talking about it quickly where you engrave it after.
What's the difference?
Because he's not specific on it, what he's talking about.
Okay.
This distinction, yeah.
But let's look at let's move forward. There is an important Mishnah Berurah that we're not going to do right now. Hopefully we'll have time to do it later because it's going to be a maskana of the sugya, but we're not ready for the maskana. What we're now going to do is talk about the reasons why this should be mutter or aser with a very, very, very famous Shas HaTshuvas HaRamah, and that's going to be the meat of what we're going to do tonight. This Shas HaTshuvas HaRamah. Now, the Shas HaTshuvas HaRamah in my source sheet, I did in italics. In between, I sprinkle the various Gemaras that the Shas HaTshuvas HaRamah is going to quote in block print. So, whenever you say italics, you know that's the Shas HaTshuvas HaRamah, but I cut it up into like six pieces, little pieces. Says the Shas HaTshuvas HaRamah, let's look at what his Shaila is. Asher sha'alta mimeni, imotu liftoach o linol, are you allowed to open or close, b'shabes, a sefer, ha'kosuv alav mibachutz osios. That's exactly the shaila that we asked about a sefer that has writing on the binding. This is the Ramah, of course, the Neshaz HaTshuvah sefer. V'ikil mechash b'zeh mishum mochek v'kosi b'shabes. Tarei, kishaposeach, when you open up the sefer, you can no longer read what's written there. Lo yichol likros ha'os od ad sheyachsiv yin aleinu. So he says, wait a second. Without getting into the details, he says, it's at least going to be Asa D'Rabbanan. It's at least going to be Asa D'Rabbanan. And he says, where do we see this precedent? Let me explain what the question here is. Oh, well, he'll say it himself, actually. Where do we see precedent that if you have letters that are written and you break them apart, that's considered mochek? That's the story of the cookie that we just learned about, which is sourced in the Mordechai, which is paskened in the Shulchan Aruch. That if you have letters written on the cookie and you break it apart, that's going to be a problem. So he says, maybe.
You can't put it back together.
Okay, we'll talk about it. You see, you're coming up with the Humpty Dumpty Svara. Right? You're saying Humpty Dumpty's down and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together. Again, that should make it worse. As opposed to the Sefer, which you can put it back together. So you're saying, even if the Mordechai told us that when you eat a cookie, it's aser, because you're separating the letters, that's because it's permanently separating the letters. As opposed to when you open up a sefer and thereby separate the letters, now, you can always put it back.
If you open a closed window, that's technically
a terrific. When you open a door, close the door. When you open a window, that's bona, right? When you're closing a window or closing a door, that's bona, right? You're attaching a new piece to a house. But we know that since you do it regularly, it opens and closes, opens and closes. That's darko b'kach, that's not called bona. You want to say the same thing. Yeah, I hear your svara. In fact, he might use that svara in the end. It's a nice svara. If you look in the fourth paragraph here, v'chein mash medivrei achronim, we see that shetaka bi'aser b'masha asru lichtov al hashlosha matzos shel Pesach osios al peis gimel. Apparently, there's a minhag. We saw a minhag to draw pictures, to draw what the Prima Gadon talked about, make a mug and David in your afikoman. But maybe there's some other minhag that people used to. I don't know how they did it, how they exactly drew the Aleph Beis Gimel to know which is the first one. Because when you're going to break that matzah, right? That's the point of Yachatz, you break the matzah, well, you're going to be mochek, and that's going to be aser. So presumably, what do you see? You see that even if a letter is already written, by you breaking it, that should be a violation, at least a derabbanan, a violation of mochek. Vim came right before source number 9. Vim kein shamin an mizeh, the derech mechiko ksiva bekach. This is called darko. This is called the way you erase by disconnecting letters. Vasilasos afagadulamiskam. You know, it's not your intention. You want to read the book. You want to read a novel. You want to learn a sefer. You don't want to break letters apart that say, you know, library, you know, Peninsula Library. However, says the Ramah, Mr. Umask will be very proud of himself. You could argue, since it's omeid liftoch v'linol, since it's made to open and close, maybe that's not called derech mechika b'kach. But he may be even more explicit. This is all the Shailos HaTshuvas HaRamah. And now let's look at one Gemara, one line of a Gemara that the Shas Shu's Rama is going to analyze. A beautiful proof. He's going to bring three proofs from Shas to suggest why is Taka going to be mutter to open such a sefer. Excuse me, source number 9. Proof A.
He quotes it?
Yes, he quotes it, but I just quote it. I cut and paste the Gemara so you can see the actual Gemara in front of you. The Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kuf Dalet, says the following. The Mishnah says that the Mishnah talks about different places. We know that to violate Ksiva D'Oraisa, you have to write two letters. What happens if I write one letter here and one letter there? They're not next to each other. Is that going to be a violation of Kosev? Let's see what the Mishnah says. HaKosev shtei osios ashnei luchei pinkas ve'negim zemze. If you write it on two pages of a tablet, you have some kind of tablet that opens with a binding, you write over here and over here, one next facing each other, such that the letters are read, could be read, this letter with this letter, in one visual sweep, that will be considered Kosev. If, however, you write one letter here, you turn three pages, and you write one letter here, so that you can't see them at the same time, you have to flip the pages, then that's not considered Kosev. That's what the next line says. Ashnei dapi pinkas, on two pages of a tablet, ve'enegim zemzeh, they're not read one with the other, patur, that's not considered writing. Now let's think about this case.
Pata
v'alasa? Pata v'alasa, yes. Also derpata. The Mishnah is trying to find a case that's going to be usser. How does he say a case that's usser? The case that's usser is that you write a letter over here, and then you write a letter somewhere else. Why didn't he just say, let's look at the first case, I'm sorry. When you wrote two letters next to each other, that's chayev. Why didn't he say something better, teach a bigger chiddush? If I have a pre-written letter over here, and a pre-written letter over here, and I bring them next to each other, that would be usser. Why didn't it say that? Because it's mutter. In other words, when he's trying to say that in order for letters to be usser, he's talking about creating the letters. There's nothing written here, and now you go ahead and make there, yes, be a letter written here. And another letter, yes, be written here. There was no letter, now there is a letter. That's going to be either Asa D'Oraisa or Asa D'Rabbanan. But if the letter's already written before Shabbos, and you're just putting them either to be read together or not be read together, that the Mishnah doesn't discuss as being Asa. Why? Suggest the Rama, because indeed, that would be mutter. Because if it was true that all you had to do is take a letter that's written over here and take a letter that's written over here and bring them together, that would be usher, that would be a much bigger chiddush that our Mishnah ought to teach us. If our Mishnah always has a goal of teaching us to bid the maximal chiddush, if it was true that that was usher, just bring these two things together, then the Mishnah should tell us that would be usher. And if that would be usher, then what would be usher also? If I have two letters that are together and I separate it, that would be mochek. So if it's not considered kosev, the Mishnah, if we wanted to find the Isser, had to find the case where you're actually writing this letter and writing the other letter, it must be that joining letters together would not be Isser. Otherwise the Mishnah would have told us it's Isser. So if it's not Isser to bring letters together, it's also not going to be Isser to break letters apart. Who is that against? That sounds like it's against the Mordechai, who the Rama Paskin like, the Rama, you know, same guy, wow. The Rama Paskin like in terms of breaking the cookie apart. What are you doing when you have the cookie with the letters on it? You have a pre-written letter and you're erasing. What does it mean that you're erasing it? You are cutting. Oh, so maybe that's going to be worse. Ah, okay, fine. If you're just breaking the cookie in half and separating the or from the EO, the Oreo, the or from the EO, so that would be maybe mutter. But to eat it up, to break it and to crumble up the O and to crumble up the R, that might be taka, an issue. Let's look at source number 10. Another halacha of writing on Shabbos. This is a Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Kuftal Rav Beis. Kosav os achas betveri v'achas betzipori. If you have two cities that are not so far from each other, let's say they're even within the walking distance, you write a letter in one place. You walk for 5 hours, and you write another letter. Did you violate Kosav today? If you had a Hasra, an Edim in both places.
If you have that letter that you wrote with you on your person and you put the two letters together, then possibly.
So says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Kosav Osachas Betveri Vachas Tzipori Chayav. Why? Listen to what the Gemara says. Ksivahi. That's writing. Two letters. All it's missing is Mechusar Kreva. It's just missing being brought close. In other words, you wrote it on a wall of a building in one place and a wall of a building somewhere else. It's just lacking being brought together, but that doesn't bother us, says the Gemara. That's still going to be chayev. What do you see from this? You see from this that the idea, the Gemara is saying, I don't care if they're not brought together. The fact is that you wrote it. Says Ramah, you see from this that bringing the letters together is a meaningful act, meaningless act. It's the writing the letter that makes it kos, that makes it chayev. Because Gemara says the fact that they're separated, you don't bring it together, or they're brought together, not brought together, that doesn't make a difference as long as they're written. So you see, says the Ramah, that if they were written, or if it was true, that it's usur to take separated letters that are pre-written. I have a letter that's written in Tziporia from Wednesday, and a letter that's written in Tveria from Tuesday. And on Shabbos, I go to Tveria and I go to Tziporia, and I take the two letters and I go, whoop! I bang them together. So if that would be usur, that would be a much bigger chiddush. Why do you have to say he wrote it on Shabbos in Tveria and he wrote it on Shabbos in Tziporia? It must be, because in order to violate something, it's only going to be if you actually write it on Shabbos. If you just bring them close, ain't going to do it. In fact, the Gemara says that there's kreva, bringing it close, is a meaningless act. And therefore, that's the second proof that just bringing letters together is not going to be an issue. And therefore, equally, inversely, separating letters will also not be considered an issue, will not be considered mochik.
The first case you gave, you wrote it on one page, and then you wrote it on another page. It's not collect close to it, and you say you're putting in that case, right?
Right.
In this case, you say you're chayim. So is the difference because you can't move it together? I don't understand what's the difference.
Yeah, it must be that the two pages of Pinkus can't be read together. Here, maybe you wrote it on a piece of paper in Tveria, you wrote it on a piece of paper in Tzipori. They could be put together. Even if you didn't put them together, you left them each one in Tveria and each one in Tzipori, that's still a violation.
If you wrote it on a building, for example, and you can't put them together, then you would be put there.
That doesn't work too well because you
Because
they're not nagim, same as the pinkus. So not nagim, same as that. Right. Look at the top of page number 3. He makes the point about how is this different. This is your point, Mr. Bloom. What's the difference between the cookie, which the Ramah Paskin is usher to break, and here he's saying it should be mutter to open up to break the letters on the side of a binding. What's the difference between breaking the letters of a cookie, that's usur, the or from the EO, that's usur we saw, but opening up a binding when you're breaking letters, that's mutter. What's the difference? You're breaking letters apart. Velo dami le'uga, top of page 3, sheksuv malah osios, de asur le'shobran. Right? We saw that Amah himself asurs breaking letters on Shabbos. Why? But the whole of achlan, once you eat it, they ain't never going back. Therefore, it's more of an isser. It's a more permanent your action, as opposed to if you opened up a book that you could equally close a second later, that's not as permanent. Finally, maybe we'll finish with this. We're not going to finish the sugya tonight, but maybe we'll finish with this proof from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says something that we the Yerushalmi tells us what's the source of ksiva in the Mishkan, which we spoke about a few minutes ago. What was the ksiva in the Mishkan? They wrote the markings of the boards because they had to keep each board in the right spot in the Mishkan. Right? Board number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4. Now, why does the Gemara, maybe the Yerushalmi, quote, tell us that they have to, Rasha, whatever it is, there are places there it's written that you write, you the ksiva in the Mishkan was that you wrote the numbers or the letters. And what was Mochek? You erased those letters because maybe you made a mistake and you have to write the right ones. I have a much better solution. Why isn't Mochek simply when you dismantle the Mishkan, you separated the number one from number two? And when you built the Mishkan, you brought joined together number one to number two. Why is it that you have to write, why that we assume it's the writing of it and the erasing of it so that you could rewrite it if you made a mistake? No, they both have maises. The maise is
shunt.
This and this, this is a maise.
I'll call it maise gurua.
Okay, maise gurua, maise gurua is a very technical term. Maise gurua means something else.
Like you open the book, it calls it a book.
That's not a real wizard. They open the window,
not a real
wizard. They find the Shabbos.
Not a mice. It calls a book.
If you have a deer in your house and you want to catch, you just close the door. You're chayv skila, buddy.
Yeah.
How about my cat that I own?
Okay, cat that you own is a little bit different. Okay, because it's already domesticated and it's ready. Yeah.
It may be a mice, but it's not ksiva.
We're proving from here that it's not ksiva, because that would have been the source. If it would have been asur, if it would have been ksiva, then that would have been the better source to tell us as the source of Kosev in the Mishkan. But since it's not the source that they gave us for the Mishkan, rather, the source of ksiva in the Mishkan is the fact that they wrote on the boards, number 1, 2, 3, not just that they both put the boards together or put the boards apart. It must be that just bringing letters together or separating letters apart is not going to be usher. Why? Now he's going to say his point very clearly. Or maybe he did and I skipped it. His main point is... Yeah, go to the bottom of page number 2. The bottom of page number 2 by the underlines, the first underlined line. And I even made it bold. About 8 lines from the bottom, in the bold print, underlined. El shmamina debechol makom dehavi ksav meikara lav klum avad. Whenever you have anything that is pre-written or pre-drawn, as we're equating writing with drawing, and you're just putting it together or separating something that's already written, you're not actually writing it. You're not taking your pen and writing it. You're just taking something that's pre-written and you're connecting it or separating it. That is not aser. Kriva ba'alma. Just make something close. En oser raksha. You're just reading that it could be read together, putting it together. That's going to be totally fine.
Is that even though they're not
read
yet?
Yep. That we're not going to the lum. That's how he proves it, but yeah. Yeah. So what do we come out with? We come out with the kula of this Shalas Tshuvas Harama, who's saying what? Who's saying that, what's going to be the din of a puzzle, Reb Osai, according to this? Puzzle is pre-drawn. What are you doing? You're taking a pre-drawn color, pre-drawn piece, connecting it to another pre-drawn piece. It's already pre-drawn. You're not writing anything.
Jigsaw.
Totally mutter. Jigsaw puzzle. Totally mutter, according to this Rama. So, next week, we're going to have to see, do we pass like this Rama? Do we not pass like this Rama? I don't think we have time now. But that's the beginnings of... So according to this, if we stop with this Ramah, we have a lot of kulas. First of all, the case that he's talking about, opening the book and closing the book. Since it's pre-written, the words are there. You're not putting the words there or erasing the words off of it. They're there. You're just connecting or disconnecting that. That's mutter. Puzzles are going to be mutter. Cookies, he said, that's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch that it's also. Why? Because there you're consuming the letters. You're destroying them. But if you would just break the Oreo in half, it sounds like that would be, according to this Rama, it would be mutter. So that's where we have, at least for now, and we'll have to see the second half, if there are people who argue on this and how we're going to pass on Halacha Maisa, Bezus Hashem, next week.